Okay. So we left off, again, a little bit of a complicated sugya with one last nekuda that I think we need to discuss. So we will, Amir Tzah Hashem, do that. The next piece of Gemara, for almost a blot, is going to go fairly quickly. I'll try to add in some armakomos just to make sure you don't get bored during morning seder, but there's not going to be too much that we're going to spend so much time on. The next sugya that we'll really be looking at more in depth is probably not until Dalet Amud Aleph. So really is about a blot. There in the middle, the next time the Gemara gets back to the Mishnah, it talks about Lefichach, so there's a short piece of the Gemara over there. But if you remember, we skipped a big and important Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph with the intention of returning to it when we got up to the appropriate Gemara. So that time, will Amir Tzah Hashem be upon us soon, and we will look into that. Again, that's a not that other sugyas are not fascinating, but it's a particularly fascinating sugya. And then the next big sugya is the Mishnah on Dalet Amud Beis. So again, I gave you one piece. Again, we'll discuss the remaining issue from last time at the beginning now. And then I gave you the first piece of these pieces that we're going to go through a little bit quicker. Tomorrow will be a larger chunk of it. At some point, you're going to need a little bit of Jewish history. I'm not sure how you guys are doing in the Jewish history realm. I will try to fill you in on whatever you need to know in order to at least understand the Gemara. Okay. So again, the Gemara had said, right? Just read it again for the, sixth, seventh, eighth time, doesn't matter. We'll remember it, right? B'mayo kim to the masnis. And how did we set up the Mishnah? B'she'ein badin chaluka. That there was not, we're talking about a case for Ein Badin Chaluka. So again, the Pashtus is that we're talking about, according to the Mandamar, it says that we're splitting, Plugta, right? That was the one according to whom we set it up, as Ein Badin Chaluka. Why did we set it up that way? Because otherwise we didn't have a pshat in why it says Ratsu. Because even if it's low Ratsu, you should be able to force it because Hezek Riya Shemei Hezek. Oh. On that, the Gemara asks, Ibishim Badin Chaluka, we're talking about a situation when there is no Din Chaluka, Ki Ratsu Mai Have. What difference does it make if they wanted it? What do you mean, what difference does it make if they wanted it? Otherwise, you don't have to split it. Ah, oh, what difference does it make again? Because the assumption of our entire Gemara is what can you force the other person to do? What they agree upon, that's not a Sugya. Right? Whatever they agree upon, do it. As long as they're not violating any Isurim Doraisa, let them do whatever they want. It's their money. They can figure it out. So why should Ratsu matter? Why shouldn't it matter? They Hajri Bihu. Because they can be Choser. They can be back out. What is binding them to their agreement, to their requirement to stick together? Let them be Choser. That's the Kasha. Oh. So the Gemara answers, very simple. Amar Vasim Yochanan Shekana Miyadon. That they made a kinyan. So a kinyan already is a way of transferring ownership. It's doing a mice that's going to transfer ownership. So there are different types of kinyanim, as we spoke about. Usually a kinyan is doing an action which shows my ownership. So on Metaltolin, if I want to take ownership over this book, if I pull it, which is normally done by an animal mashicha, I lift it up, hagbah. So that combined with your intention to be makna to me makes it mine. I did an action to it. With karka, I can do a chazak on the karka. I can do something. We said na'al, which again didn't mean to lock the door, but it meant to install a lock that shows my ownership. You can dig in it. Things that show ownership. You see, then maybe that's the pshat when it comes to bia, when it comes to kesef kiddushin as well. Again, it's showing that it's now mine and the relationship has gone through. Oh. Then we said that kesef is another type of kinyan. But kesef, in a certain sense, is a weaker kinyan. Again, it's counterintuitive to us because we think of our financial system really just based on money. But the weakness of money as a kinyan is that you're not doing anything to the object. Right? It's external. So it does work, but there are certain limitations. And then we said, but what happens? There are certain things where you can't do an action on. Was there any other way besides kesef? And that's what we talked about, kinyan chalipin or kinyan suder. So we spoke about how it is a kinyan of das. So me lifting up the pen with the intention to be konet, the pen has nothing to do with it. But it's a way of me expressing that I'm serious about this. And that combined with the das to be konet, that's going to be good enough. That's the pshat in the kinyan over here. Because again, we're trying to divide what makes this side belong to one person, this side belong to the other person. The kinyan. What did you do to it? You didn't do anything. Oh, we did a chalipin. We did a kinyan suder. Oh, good. And that's what Rashi says as well. But the Gemara raises a problem with it. Who cares that they made a kinyan? It's a kinyan dvarim ba'alma. It's only on words. There's a limitation the Gemara is teaching us in the world of chalipin. Chalipin works to transfer something. That's a chiddush, but that's what it works for. But if nothing is being transferred, we are just agreeing that we are going to do something, we're agreeing to words, even chalipin doesn't work on that. It needs something to go on, and there's nothing there. So if we make if you commit to me that you're going to do 30 jumping jacks and you make a kinyan on it, you might not be obligated to do 30 jumping jacks. Because what's the kinyan going on? Well, so here, also, what's the problem over here? The problem over here, why is it a kinyan devarim? Because we're not transferring anything. We're just deciding that we're going to split. Going to split is that we have an agreement to do an action. Similar, I gave you the example of like a non-compete clause. It's a real thing. It makes sense. But in reality, nothing transferred at that time. It's not a mekach u'memkar. It's not a matana. It's not a gift. It's not even a lien. So what are you doing? Oh. So answers the Gemara, shekanu miyadon beruchos. That they were kone from one each other to different sides. Meaning, each one chose a chelek, each one chose part of the field, and then on that they made a kinyan. At that point, the kinyan has what to be chal on. Good. So that's the first answer of the Gemara. So the first answer of the Gemara is sticking to the guns when it comes to kinyan chalipin, that we are talking about kinyan chalipin. That's the reason that you can't back out. It's a kinyan dvarim ba'am. Okay, we got out of that by saying shekonam yodim beruchos. They were identifiable sections. There's one section here. There's no thing in the middle, but you understand what I mean. All right, there are two sides. No, this board and that board, two different sides. And now we make a kinyan on that. And that is a transference. Oh. Then Ravashi comes along. That's what we were discussing a little bit more on Thursday. Ravashi comes along and Ravashi says, each one went into his own portion and made a kinyan chazaka. So this is again, we spoke about at length. I don't want to go through everything again. But the basic idea seems to be that Ravashi is giving a different answer. He's throwing kinyan chalipin out. We're not talking about kinyan chalipin anymore. We're talking about a kinyan of chazaka. And they were mevarer their specific parts. And then they went in and they did an action. They dug. And by digging in their piece, that made it belong to them. Right? So the Rishonim all want to know, what's the chiddush of Ravashi? What's the chiddush of Rashi? We know from later on the Beis, and the Gimel, and the Dalet, that there's a such thing as a kinyan chazaka. And we're not overcoming anymore the kinyan dvarim, we're just giving a completely different mahalach. So the general approach of the major Rishonim, which you saw in Tosvos, and the Rush, and I think some of the others as well, was that though there is a chiddush over here. What's the chiddush over here? Is that usually when you're doing a kinyan chazaka, not in front of the owner. The owner has to say, lech chazek ukni. Go out, make a chazaka, and with a chazaka, you are going to be kona'et. Here the chiddush is that once they agree to divide, even without the other person saying, lech chazek ukni, if you go ahead and you do it, it's still going to work. What's the svara behind that? So we said it makes sense. Because again, why do you have to say lechazek ukei? Because if I go into your field, if I go into your field and I start digging in it, I'm not making a kinyan chazaka on your field. I'm damaging your field. Right? I'm doing something that an owner might do, but it needs the context of your das makna, of your willingness to have me be kona, in order to give it the full flavor of being a kinyan, of being something which is going to transfer. And we don't have that. So that's why you need, oh, but if I say, I'm not there, but I say, lechazeku kni, okay. So that gives a context to the action that I am doing. The chiddush over here is, again, in one of two ways. Either because I'm not really being kona anything from you, because again, it was the corporate entity beforehand, therefore I don't need the das makna is much, much lower. Or because I already had a chilek in it to start off with. Right? Because we both owned it jointly, so I have a stronger hold on it, and therefore the same amount of das makna is not needed. Good? So that we saw again at length on Thursday, and we left off, I believe, with the Ramban. And the Ramban said, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. It's too big a chiddush. If that's really the chiddush that Rav Ashi wanted to say, he should have said it. He didn't say it. And therefore, what's the pshat? He said, Einacham, there is no chiddush in Rav Ashi. There's no chiddush in Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was simply just giving a second explanation to the original kasha of the Gemara of why you cannot be chozer. What was his problem with Rabbi Yochanan? About the Kinyan Chalipin, he had no problem with Rabbi Yochanan. He actually didn't even hear Rabbi Yochanan say it. Whether he wasn't in the Beis Medrash, whether he wasn't paying attention, I'm not going to judge. Don't judge, right? But you need to have a safe space. We're not going to judge anybody. But we need to make sure that's what the Ramban says. Good? Okay. Ad Khan we saw last time. So let's add one more nakuda to this, since we're already back here, and then deal with one more question, and then we'll see the next shtickle in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom says slightly differently, and the question is there a chiddush in what Rabbeinu Gershom says? Says Rabbeinu Gershom, says Rabbeinu Gershom, okay. Kinyan dvarim, because they can't be chosen. Kinyan dvarim b'amo klomar, eze kinyan u'ikir ki o'matano o'mechiro shum dover shemara lo ha'chevet, you have to show the chevet, she'n osin l'mekabel, v'kona miyad v'agath, and you make a kinyan in. Aval ha'cha, but over here, she'adam omer l'chaveiro, where the Berzezo's friend, nitol kinyan, let's take a kinyan, let's make him action, she'n nachlok, in order that we should divide. Kigonze kinyan dvarim b'amo, delo nevar, amanoto kinyan, akath, right, there's no beer, there's no clarity. Again, this is going back to before, on what we are doing. To that we answer, Shekhanu miyadam beruchos. Dizehek nilazeh osachil, shebetzad ruach mizrach, vizeh lazeh chayitai beruch ma'arab dainu kinyan gomor. It's a full kinyan of huver amakana, because it's clear what the kinyan is going on. Rav Ashi amar, mishum hachi lo matzeh lemeheder ba, hoil dekani, afagav de lesba din chaluka. Since they made a kinyan, even though there's no din chaluka, kigon shehalach ze laachar kinyan lahachzik bichelko dinoa god averts kol shehu vaday basar hachi lo matzi lemeheder. Which of the words in Rabbeinu Gershom are surprising? Which words of Rabbeinu Gershom? They stand out as a little bit surprising based on everything that we have said until now. Kigon shehalach ze la'achar kinyan lahachzik. One second. We've been learning until now that what kinyan is the kinyan taking place in Rav Ashi? Chazaka. That is the kinyan. That's not. Not what Rabbeinu Gershom sounds like. Rabbeinu Gershom sounds like we're building off of Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan said that we have a chalipin, but we have a problem with kinyan dvarim ba'alma. Comes along Rav Ashi and seems to be saying that if we just did the kinyan chalipin on the ruchos, you could still be chozer. I think, right? Once you already did a kinyan, and then you do a maisa chazaka, then you can't be chozer. So, you gain in Rabbeinu Gershom's shot that they're talking to each other, right? That Rav Ashi is building off of Rabbi Yochanan. But you end up with a shtickle of a manavshach. Meaning, if it's true according to Rav Ashi that the chalipin is not going to be enough, so in the end, what are you relying on? Chazaka. Well, if you're relying on chazaka anyway, then what do you need the chalipin for? Right? It almost sounds. Is the question clear? So what's the chalipin accomplishing? So it almost sounds. You know, if we can chart this out and make it a little bit clearer. It almost sounds like this. That the way that Rav Ashi understands is like this. According to Rabbi Yochanan, right? After Chalipin alone, right? You can back out, right? Because it's why? Kinyan dvarim ba'alma, right? Kinyan dvarim ba'alma. If they chose sides, you can't back out. Right? That's Rabbi Yochanan. Comes along Rav Ashi, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, and says, you need chazaka after chalipin. Or you can back out, right? So the question that we're trying to figure out is, so why do you need chalipin? Now again, what's the ma'ilo of his pshat? The benefit of his pshat is that they're not having a conversation, right? You say, no, Rabbi Yochanan, you're sure. The question is, so what are you gaining? So maybe the answer is like this. So again, if the chalipin gets you nothing, then what's Rav Ashi saying? So it must be that the chalipin gets you something. What does the chalipin maybe get you?
Give you the right to make a
tzedakah. And not have to?
Not have permission.
And not have to have somebody say, lechazeku kni. Excellent. And maybe that's the pshat in Rav Ashi. And when Rabbeinu Gershom, Rav Ashi comes along and says, Rabbi Yochanan, what you're saying is good. You need to admit the ruchos. It's still a kinyan dvarim. So I can't tell you that it's binding to the point that you can't back out. I don't buy that. But it's also not meaningless. If nobody backs out at that point, then you can say leichazik. I'm sorry. Then you can be machzik, which would solidify it even without saying leichazik ukni. And maybe that then address. If you learn this pshat, now at least it addresses the Ramban's problem. The Ramban's problem was, if his main chiddush is that you don't have to say lechazeku kni when it comes to a chalukah. So he should have said that. But now that's not his main chiddush anymore. His main chiddush is just adding on to Rabbi Yochanan. And then the only thing that you almost have nothing else to say. You have to say this. So maybe it weakens the Ramban's kasha a little bit. You'd have to figure out, so what are they arguing about in terms of Kenyan Dvara? Right now, what does emerge is that if you learn like this, if you learn this pshat in Rabbeinu Gershom, now you have a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi about Kenyan Dvara. That being Mevara Ruchos is enough for Kenyan Dvara to get rid of Kenyan Dvara, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi is going to say it's not. Rashi is going to say it's not. So why not? It might have to do with how burrower they are, or something like that. I'm not sure. So again, that's probably the weakness in Rabbeinu Gershom's pshat. But again, I'm not sure how else to read it. Those words, la'achar kinyan, really stand out. Because he's making it clear that that the story is continuing. Rashi doesn't just stand on his own. Oh. And now the last point from this sugya. The pashtus is that each person is making the chazakah. Right? Zeba b'sof shalom machzik. Right? There are two people. The zeba b'sof shalom machzik. That's the pashtus. So that's the way you read the Gemara. It's the pashtus also of how Tosfos reads the Gemara. Right? If you look at Tosfos Ravashi, towards the bottom, right? V'halach v'echzik lo, kol echad b'shelo, zeh shelo b'fnei zeh. Right? Each one is going into the other one's rishus, and is making the chazakah, and is making the chazakah against the will of the other person. So again, or actually, it doesn't have to be against the will, but you're not. Each one is making the chazaka. The question is that muskam? Is that muskam in the Rishonim? And if it is, what's that issue? What is that all about? So. There are several Rishonim, including the Rush, who assume that it's not necessary. It's not necessary. When we say that you go into the other one's Rishus in order to be Konet, as soon as one person does the Chazakah, that is going to be enough. That's going to be enough. I think Rabbeinu Yonah says the same thing. Once one does it, the other one has to give it. Oh. So the question is what's that machlokas about? What's that issue? Do they both need to... Now, let's just think about it logically. Right, what's happening in our situation? Right? We have our handy-dandy chazer. It's less bad than chalukah. Right? There's no requirement for them to divide it up. But they agree that they're going to divide it. So they decide this Reuven is getting this section. And Shimon's getting this section. Reuven comes in and he digs a hole in the corner of his part, a little bore. Now that part is Reuven's. Shimon doesn't. So how do we look at this? Does Reuven not own it yet? How can we say that Reuven doesn't own it yet? They were Mvar the Chelik, he made the Kenyan. That's how it's working. So is it the Peshat, does Shimon automatically own it? He doesn't have to make a Kenyan? Or is it that because Shimon doesn't own it yet, then somehow he can undo what Reuven did? It's very strange. Right? I don't know. What we have said on our own? Do both of them need to do the Ma'aseh Chazakah, or is it sufficient for one of them?
Both,
so why? What would you say the situation? I would have said one. I would have said, like, well, once one has this, by definition, this person has this. So you're going to argue. I want a good argument. So good, yeah.
Just because you agree to split, and so I go into the portion that I want to make a chazaka, even do anything. Like, why is that?
So Sam is saying, Tim's saying that this is a continuous process. When Reuven digs his bore, he does not own it. He doesn't own it. Right? Because the chalukah is contingent on us both accepting it, and that is only, you know, sealed or concretized once we both do the chazakah. Once we both, because until that point, of course I can back out. It's not that I'm taking the ownership away from you, it's that you don't own it yet. I did the mice, okay, it's, I guess there's a condition, we would say, built into it. Your opinion works, a condition that I do one also. I do one also. Okay, and again, that's the simple reading of the Gemara. It's the simple reading of Tosfos as well, and other Rishonim. So what would this? What's the svara over here? What's the svara over here? I mean, why would I say one way? Why would I say the other way? And how would it work? Because that's, I think, what you're going to respond to me. It's okay, but how did this become shivels? If you're going to say like me, right?
He didn't do anything.
How did it become his? So I'll answer that question as follows. I'll answer that question based on a svara that's found in a tshuva sarashpa. Says the Rashba in a tshuva, Elif, I think it's Elif Resh Chav Vav, I think I put it on the chorus in brackets. I mean, there is a chance to see it. I'm not going to give you the whole context of the tshuva, just because it's confusing. I don't think it helps. V'cheinami b'machlev karka b'karka. Right, really what's going on here, right, is we're swapping land. Right? You get this piece of land and I get this piece of land. Right? That's what's going on here. Kevan she'echzik b'sada zu, kana chavero b'sada hashniya. Says the Rashba, I hold, not like Tosfos, but as soon as Reuven takes ownership over this, by definition, this one becomes Shimon's. Like me, like what I wanted to say. Why? What's the svara? V'teido lecha, and I'll prove it to you. Mida amrinan b'reish perakama de baba basra gimel amin aleph. That since the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Baba Basra, Rav Ashi Omar, it's Mam Shas, right? Our Gemara. Kigon Shalach Zebesov, Shalom Behechzik, Valach Zebesov, Shalom Behechzik. Uregilin, unknown the fire ration, and we usually explain the Rav Ashi, Bola Chadesh. There's some sort of Chiddush in Rav Ashi, right? We're not satisfied with the Ramban's Pshat, that he's just repeating something that he already knows, just he didn't have an answer. We don't like that. And his chiddush is the kosh and it's rasu b'osa chaluk as long as they agreed. The kadam wa'achav v'chzik nechaver b'osa chelik, and then one of them went ahead and did it in front of the others. Gam hasheni kana chelik hasheni, says that's, he thinks, is the pshat of the Gemara. That's the pshat of the Gemara. Because otherwise Rashi has no chiddush. But how does it work? V'einenu chalipin, this isn't chalipin, elak ein damim. Ke'ein damim, it's like money. What does he mean? He explains. Tikana zes de Reuven bidmei sadeu shenasan lo. V'karka nikne b'kesef u'b'sha v'kesef. You know how Shimon There are multiple kinyanim going on here. Says, again, conceptually. Says the Rashba, when Reuven comes in and Reuven makes his kinyan over here, what gives Reuven the right to make his kinyan over here? We agree, right? I said to you, maybe I even said, lechazek ukni, right? Maybe. Who says, you know, you're standing there. We were trying to cover the chiddush, but he's not there. I say, stand there, go, do it. So this piece becomes Reuven's according to the Rashba, right? Reuven gets it with Kinyan Chazaka. So how does Shimon get it? He didn't make a Chazaka. Why is he stuck with it? Kinyan Kesef. What's the Kinyan Kesef? Well, they were partners here. So in order for me to have taken this, you know what that means that I did? I paid you. I don't have to pay you with money, because kesef or shava kesef, the equivalent of money, is also good enough. So you know what I paid you with? And that's how that becomes Shimon. I say, but I didn't do anything. You agreed to split. Right? There was certainly das machna here, and therefore, the payment to Shimon of this field makes it his. The same way, if I gave him $1,000, the $1,000 become his. I gave him this field, and that becomes his. So in the reality, there are almost two different kinyanim going on. It's fascinating. If kinyanim fascinate you like me, right? No, it's fascinating, right? The Reuven is a kinyan chazaka, but Shimon is really getting it as a kinyan kesef. We'll point out again. It's shavah kesef. It's the equivalent of money. But that's conceptually what's going on here. And therefore, you can't back out anymore. Yeah?
Why didn't you say that in the first place? Instead of the answer to Kinyan Devar Ba'alma, so it's not really Kinyan Devar Ba'alma. They both paid to us.
Because we need the Kesef to move.
Yeah, so if I split it.
So as long as just agreeing to split it, nothing moved yet. The Kinyan has to move it. By making my Chazakah over here, this became mine, and I'm only an owner of 50%. This has to also move. Otherwise, I'm a gun.
So for Kinyan Kesef, it's a prerequisite to have a Kinyan Chazakah?
No. If they would have said, why did the Gemara give the answer that they'd pay for it? Yeah. Well, the Gemara could have given that as another answer. But again, the Gemara would have asked on that, the Ramban would have said, you would have had to say that somebody else didn't show up to Shear. Because we know Kinyan Kesef is somewhere else. We're not looking for answers that exist somewhere else. And that answer is a little bit worse. It's a little bit worse because that's even more lacking from the Mishnah. At least the Mishnah, you know, that the fact that Eir have to pay for everything makes it a little bit weaker. That's the pshat according to the Rashba. It's a nice pshat. No? It's a good pshat. But Tosfos certainly disagrees. Right, there are Rishonim that learn like Sam that we need to have that both of them need to make a chazak. So what do they hold? So l'chora what they hold is that this case is unique because a case of breaking apart a corporation is just different. Meaning this was a shutvos. And you're right, in a normal situation, this should have worked. But because it was a shutvos and they both were sort of co-owners, there needs to be a certain birur that takes place that everything has ended. Because that's what we're doing. We're not in a normative situation. And therefore, as strange as this whole situation is, without there being a kinyan, we need finality. We need finality. Yeah, there are kunsim, and this technically work, but we need clarity and finality in order to show that this story is over. And without them both actually sort of signing on the dotted line, again, not literally, because that's the only kinyan we're not talking about, but doing something, then there is no finality here. There's no finality here. That l'chora would be their sorrow. Again, which I think might have been similar to what you were implying, but I think it's another way of saying it. Fine. That brings us to the end of that sugya. Let's see the next piece of the Gemara a little bit. Unless there are any questions on that. Again, it was a lot of time just on a few lines, but again, I think it's very, very fundamental points about Kinyanim, which may become okay again later on in the Masechta, and if they're not, it was still worth it. So, either way, we're in good hands now that we have a little clarity on Kinyanim. So now, says the Gemara, Malkam Shenahagu Livnos, right, the Mishnah had said in a place where they have a minhag to build with different shiurim of wit, that's what you should do. So he went through all of them, the gvil and the gazis, etc. So now the Gemara is going to explain what are all these things. So gvil is avne de lo mishafya. Gvil are rocks that are not smoothed out, not shaven. So there are protrusions on the sides of them. And that apparently makes them a little bit wider than gazis, which is avne de mishafya. Delsiv kolela avani mekaros kemidos gazis. So again, what the Gemara just told us that gvil and gazis are the same material. We're talking about the same exact rock. The question is it smooth or is it not smooth? And apparently when you smooth up, it's a tefach difference. A tefach isn't so much, 3 to 4 inches. So if you assume that on each side, the blitos of where it's the things that are that pop out are an inch and a half on each side, it's not crazy. So if you don't smooth it out, then that is gvil. Interesting, what else do we call gvil? Let me know. Where else do we use gvil in a halacha context? The parchment that's used for a Sefer Torah is also referred to as gvil. There's a Tosfos on Yedalad Amud Aleph. Tosfos on Yedalad Amud Aleph. It says that the Ramaska, I think, is gvil. Gvil shisha tvachim beklach bekama. So gvil hu or shelo nitkan klal. You know why it's called gvil? Because it hasn't been fixed up, right? The klach, when it's not yet fixed up and it's in the form of becoming klach, that's called gvil. Ela sheshira saseyar, because people of Magam say they just shaved off the hair. Something which is not finished is called gvil. Right, same idea. So gvil doesn't mean marble or something like that. Gvil means an unfinished material. The unfinished material happens to be some sort of rock over here. Kfisin are arche. So kfisin are referred to in Ariach. And Ariach is, again, as we go through, we'll see in a moment, an Ariach is half the size of a Levena. It's half the size of a Levena, right? Rashi says Ariach, Chatzi Levena. It's half of a Levena, but a Levena Gimel Tvachim. And a Levena is 3 Tvachim. So how much is each Ariach? Tefach and a half, right? Math makers, we're good? Tefach and a half, half of 3. So how come when you have an Ariach, what did we say in the Mishnah? What's the shear when an Ariach which is Kfisin? So what was the shear in the Mishnah for Kfisin? 4. Right? We said 2 for 2. Each one has to give 2. So how did that get bigger than the Levain? The Levain was, this was we just said is 1.5. So clearly, it is to use a riach properly, you have to use 2 of them. Now, why don't you just use lavena? I don't really know. Maybe we'll discuss it a little bit later on. But that makes 3. And as the Gemara is going to tell us, the cement in the middle takes up a tefach. So it becomes wider than just the lavena. Is it stronger? Is it not stronger? We'll have to see. Okay? Levenin livne. Okay, those are full bricks. So Amalei Rabba de Biri de Rav Ashi Mimai de Gvil Avne de Lo Meshafkin de Nuhad. You know that Gvil refers to rocks that have not been smoothed out. V'hai Tefach Yaseirah. And that's the reason that you're assuming that the extra Tefach, that the Gvil is 6 and the Guzis is only 5, is why? Is the Morsha de Karnasas for the piece, the protrusions from the side. Dilma Pava de Guzisu. Maybe it's the same pattern as the Ariach and the Levena. That really Gvil is a half of a gazan. So it's half of the five, so it's 2.5. And you put two of them together, and then you have to put the cement in the middle, and that's what makes it into six. Right, Dilma. And the extra tefach is for in between them where you're going to put the cement. And like we said, and the tefach which is in between them, that's there in order to make sure that you have the appropriate the tit, the cement, whatever needs to go in between. So Amar Lei, it says, Utameich. Okay, you're asking questions on the details of this. Okay, so according to you, kvisin archai minalim. How do you know that the kvisin referred to an ariach, again, which is half of a levena, and that's why you have two that are, you have with an ariach, which is one and a half is three, and then you end up with it being bigger than the levena, which are also three, because of the halves. In order to put them together, you have to put the cement in the middle, which makes it into four. How do you know all that? We have a Masorah that's what it is. I can't bring you a raya from somewhere, raya muchrachas, that this is what it is. But that is what it is. Elo Gemara Gemirla, and if that's the case, Gvil Nami Ave Lo Meshach Gemara Gemirla. It is also, we have a Masorah on the Gvil that is what it is referring to. Yikudamri, others learn in the opposite direction. That they said, "Mimai dahai kvisin archininu." How do you know, in fact, that the kvisin referred to an ariach, which is half an levena, which is one and a half, which is half of a levena? Vaytevaseir levena yorbe, and the extra tefach is for the cement. Dilma mai kvisin. Maybe what is kvisin? Avnei de lo meshafya. Maybe it's actually unhewned stones. The extra tefach, like we said in the not Yikadam, right, in the first version, is for the blitos, what's sticking out. So yes, in the opposite direction. If you, how do you know that the ariach is this way? Maybe it should be like the gvil and the gazis, that it's different materials, and that it's the same material, but the parts that protrude. And how do you know that? So here also Abaye says, okay, fine. We learned out certain facts. So now we know that there are only two materials. There are only two materials being discussed in the Mishnah. Right? It's either whatever this rock is and whatever this brick is. And then there's the whole version and then there's the half version. And the half version... No, I'm sorry. There are only two materials. In the gvil and the gazes, the difference is whether you cut off the shave off the ends. And in the kvisin and the veinin, the difference is whether it's whole or half. But again, the material itself, there are only two. There are only two that we're discussing. So Amr Abaye says, Shma mina, you see from this, kol b'nei yorbe tefach, that the amount that you have to put in between them, again, as this cement that hold it together, that shear is a tefach. That shear is a tefach. Who cares? So Rashi says, "V'nafka minin l'kabel abnis kosel l'chaveiro." A contractor cares, or I care. I'm hiring a contractor. If we enter into a business and say a deal, and you're going to build me a wall, and you're going to use bricks, we don't have to sit there debating how much cement you have to put in the middle. There's a shear. You have to put the requisite amount. And apparently Chazal said that in order for the wall to stay up properly, again, whatever research they did, you have to put this appropriate amount of tit in between. And then the Gemara clarifies, as Hani Mili Bitina, Abba Berichsa Boitfe. Okay, depending on what substance that you're using in between is made out of, that might be enough. If you're using tina, which I think is just plain tit, then that's fine. If you're using rikhsa, which Rashi says is avanim dakos, the tit ben shnei adimusos, I guess little pebbles they stuck in it also, then boy, I tell you, need a little bit more. Okay. V'ikadam, rather say hanim li berikhsa, avatina lo boy kuli hai. Okay. Either way, it comes in the opposite direction. You need to make sure they use the... That you use the appropriate amount. Okay, good. I don't really have any major ha'aras to add to anything that the Gemara just said. We will see. Again, we'll look at the Gemara tomorrow. We're going to discuss a little bit about the Beis HaMikdash and the Amatraxin. We'll see if a picture would maybe help. We'll try to figure it out. But we'll try to push through probably to the middle of Amud Beis a little bit quicker than we normally would go.